you pray with me? Oh, gracious God, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks for the word that informs us of our role in your world, and informs us of our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray as we talk and think about it today that your Spirit would be upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, we got up this morning. That was early, not like when we had the kids, but when Priscilla wasn't there for the kids, but she's had been around that children and know what it's like. And we went in and she fixed me a cup of coffee and I sat down and we lit up the New Year's tree. And we handed out the gifts from underneath the New Year's tree. All of our gifts came mainly from Amazon. They were a little hard to open, but we got them open. We were looking at the gifts and we were thankful for them, that we were thought of by our family and by friends. And I drank my coffee and we just sat there for a while and looked at the New Year's tree, how beautiful it was. We thought about the fact that we're coming to church today to celebrate New Year's, to come to church and tell everybody about the wonderful gifts that were underneath the New Year's tree. Tell you about the wonderful night that we had last night. We didn't party. We don't do that anymore. We didn't stay up for the ball dropping. I think we went to bed about 8:30, as a matter of fact. That's what happens as you get older. You know, the bed's a little bit more fun than watching TV. But we remembered the times when we used to blow horns and wear hats and do weird things on the eve of New Year's. But we look forward to the day that we could worship the fact that it is New Year's and open our gifts underneath our New Year's tree. That's really kind of a farcical idea when you think about it. New Year's, we celebrate it. We have traditions about it. We blow off fireworks. We do all of these things exactly a week after we celebrate the birth of our Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to New Year's the night before, just like we come to the celebration of Mardi Gras. Go out, do those things you want, because tomorrow you can make a resolution and it'll all be okay, right? Mardi Gras, go out and party all you want, sin all you want, because tomorrow we start Lent and then you can be redeemed by the end of Lent by doing everything you're supposed to do. We come to New Year's basically as an end of Christmas. An end of Christmas. Christmas is over. Last Sunday I was thinking about the fact that Dickens, we should celebrate Christmas every day of the year. He kept Christmas for the rest of his life. God bless us all and everyone. We think about the fact that Christmas is now over. It's a time for us to get ready for Easter, if we were in the church. It's a time for us to get ready for Lent, for Bible studies, for all the things that we do during that time. So Christmas is over. Instead, we're going to celebrate with a bombardment of noise. We're going to celebrate by keeping our eyes open, maybe. We celebrate by going out and eating too much and drinking too much and getting on the road, maybe, hopefully not. We're going to celebrate New Year's with great passion, if you will. And in the morning we'll get up and the first thing we'll do is say, Happy New Year! And if we're going to celebrate it that much, shouldn't we have a tree for it? I mean, that's more than we did really with Jesus, wasn't it? I mean, we came to church on Christmas Eve, and we sang the songs, we did all those things, we went home, it's quiet. Got up in the morning, of course, if you have kids, it's not quiet that time, 4:30 in the morning, you've got to start drinking your coffee. But we did that, and then we spent the rest of the day, and we came to church again. But when did we shout, Merry Christmas, the way we shout Happy New Year? This is the first Sunday of Christmas. And it's a Sunday that we need to remember, because Christmas is a short time in the church. But it's a time that we continue to celebrate Christmas, the Christ's birth, to celebrate the life, the beginning of the life of Christ. It's the one time in the year, this year, that we're going to talk about Joseph. And poor Joseph, the poor guy doesn't really get near what the press that he should have gotten, I don't think. He, first of all, an angel comes and tells him that he's not to set Mary aside. So that tells him he's got to walk all the way to Bethlehem, because that's where his home is, because the government says they're going to take taxes. So he's out there walking the road, right? Suddenly the angel of God says, get up, flee to Egypt. Go to Egypt. And Joseph's thinking, my aching feet. But he does what he's told. He gets up and he goes to Egypt. And he figures, what am I going to do? So he gets to Egypt. He's a good carpenter. He starts a business. He's continuing to care for Jesus. He's continuing to care for his wife. He's continuing to do what he has to do in order to put bread on the table so that they can eat. And suddenly, Herod dies. What does God tell him to do? Go back. So he's back on the road again. Now think about almost everything we hear about Joseph. He's on the road. He's walking. He's going somewhere. And it's always somewhere that God has pretty much told him to go to. And so he goes back and he realizes that he couldn't go back to where they came from. He needs to a different place, so he goes to Galilee. Galilee is a place where he could go ahead and start his business again. Until God tells him to start walking. But he can start his business again, and he can put food on the table. He can even trade Jesus to be a carpenter and his sons. He's there in Galilee having a good life. And when Jesus is 12 years old, they go to Jerusalem, do his bar mitzvah. He's now 12. He's going to read the Torah. He's going to proclaim himself, today I am a man. And that's done. They've celebrated that. Everything's done that should be done as far as Jesus goes in the Jewish tradition. So they go back to where they live. They're in a caravan. It's a safe way to travel. I really think Joseph tried to be in caravans all the way. I don't think he was that lonely on the trip. There were other people, because that's what you needed to do in order to go safely. So anyway, they're leaving Jerusalem, and they're made it a ways down the road, and suddenly Mary says, where's Jesus? And they search the caravan. Anybody seen Jesus? Anybody know where Jesus is? Does anybody know where he's gone? What's going on? Well, we haven't seen him since we started. Don't know where he went. Okay, we're back on the road again, but this time we're alone. We're going to hurry back to Jerusalem. They hurry back to Jerusalem, look for him. Where do they find him? They find him in the temple, awing people by his knowledge of the Word of God. Mary is the only one that gives him any, says anything negative to him. Why would you worry us this way? Why are you doing this? And Jesus said, I have to be about my Father's business. So once again, they're on the road again. They go back to Nazareth. That's the last we hear about Joseph. Poor guy. I mean, you can just see him on the way back to the temple, and they looking for Jesus. Oh God, I lost the Lord. What? Lightning's going to strike. It's for sure. But he did everything the Lord told him to do, and most of it was walk here, walk there, do this, walk there. It seemed like all the time that he was doing it was traveling, but he was following the word of the Lord. He was listening to the Lord's word as it came to him in dreams. He believed in the Lord. He believed in what he was doing. The Lord gave him an understanding of how important he was to the whole story. Mary kept everything in her heart from them. The shepherds coming, the wise men coming. And she basically needed not worry about anything. She left it up to Joseph. Joseph and God will handle it, and they did. As we come into New Year's, the first Sunday of Christmas, we're really into the story of talking about the wise men, talking about them, Joseph fleeing in order to be sure that Jesus isn't killed. But really what we're talking about, what we're reading about, is commitment. A commitment to God at Christmas. And that commitment to God says that we should celebrate Christmas, not just on Christmas, but also on New Year's, the first Sunday of Christmas. That we should celebrate Christmas and the Lord every day of the year, every minute of every day. That as we walk, and we do, let us say to ourselves, is this the road that God wants me to walk on? I believe God will tell us. Lord, show me which way to go. I think I've shared with you, there was when second church that I pastored in Indiana, first church in Indiana, we had a person who was a garbage collector. He owned a garbage firm and collected garbage. And every morning as he left there, he pulled up to the end of their driveway, and he had a prayer, show me which way to go. And although he was supposed to collect and it was left, if he felt like he felt he needed to go to the right, he went to the right. And how often he found, oh, here is a lady that has, her porch fell down or something like that. But he just, everything that he did, first of all, he said, God, show me what I should do. And we should be doing something similar. Each day we need to say, Lord, you were so committed to me that you went to the cross. You were so committed to me that you lived that life of that time with the dusty roads and with all of the stuff that was going on. And you were committed to me, personally, that I could have salvation. We look at New Year's. What do we do on New Year's? What do we make?
Resolutions.
Okay. All right. Jesus and the Lord didn't make resolutions for us, they made restitution for us. And we don't need to be resolved to follow that. We need to be committed to following that. It's not like losing weight. I lose 10 pounds and I've reached my goal, now I can go back to eating. It's not like, oh, this year I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to help at least one of my kids do something, or whatever it happens to be. Where there's an end to it. The rest, God has restored us to be God's people. And if we're going to celebrate anything on New Year's Eve, it should be that. Thank you, Lord, for restoring me to your family. For restoring me to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I don't make a resolution to do all the things that are in the Bible. What I make is a commitment not to leave them behind. Christmas will not be left behind. I'm committed, Lord, to seeing the naked that need to be clothed, the hungry that need to be fed, those that are sick that need to be cared for. I'm committed, Lord, to reaching out to your people so that they will know your word that became flesh and is still flesh in me. Because with the Holy Spirit, I am adopted into your family. And I have the Spirit of the Lord in me. Lord, instead of saying, Happy New Year, what I want to say is, Happy Merry Christmas. Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well in the world. And I want to shout it. I want to say to people, you know, life is good. It has its ups and downs. It has its pain. We know that's going to be there. We live in a fallen world. But we know that Jesus Christ is with us. And just a smile can make a difference in a person's life. Just a handshake to a man who's sitting on the bench in Publix and saying, Hi, how you doing? Just saying to somebody walking down the street and he's got his little veteran's uniform on or whatever, saying thank you, police the same way. Please, Lord, keep them safe. It's in everything that we do, and it's in everything that we are. I have to confess to you, last Friday, 2 days ago, at about 8:30 in the morning, something happened and I went off like a skyrocket. I don't lose my temper easily. I really don't. But at that point, I was just fed up to hear by a situation that was going on, and I cut loose. And I probably, for a half hour, had a tirade about that. Got all done with it, and, well, I think the final words of the tirade was, but I do what I do because God calls me to do it. And I will not stop. Everything that was said before that had no meaning whatsoever. It didn't matter. And consequently, I went throughout the rest of my day, first of all, trying to repent for what I had said during that first half hour. But second of all, saying, what I feel inside, even if it was anger, does not need to be taken out on this person or that person or these people. It needs to be let go of. And apology needs to be made. And I did. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but I did apologize. And the person that I had let off on wasn't part of what was going on, but he didn't need to hear it either. Consequently, when I came home that night, I was just wore out. I had spent my energy, a good portion of that energy that could have been used for doing God's will, following God's path, reaching out to someone in need. And I guess I could say, well, I did that, but could I have done it better? If I leave that part behind, if instead of saying Happy New Year, and I've got a resolution, and using that energy, could I use the energy and Merry Christmas, Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. He will take us on a walk where we need to go. He brought the wise men to Jesus. He took Joseph and Jesus out of Israel to save Jesus, to make sure he was safe. God is with us. And he'll do the same thing for us. All we have to do is listen. So he says, oh, I don't dream. Okay, listen for the word. You say, oh, light up the wall. You know, just like God in Egypt, you know, calling Moses. And light up the wall and let Charlton Heston say what I need to do. All we have to do is look in the scripture. What we need to do, we don't need to have a list. The list is here. We need to get up, take our steps, and go and do it. Simple as that. I hope we never have a New Year's tree. Although I see society, a group in society that would like us to. I hope that we always celebrate Christmas with the manger. I don't hope it. I will always celebrate Christmas with a manger. I will always get up Christmas morning with that manger filled with a baby. I commit to always following that child who became a man, who redeemed me through his blood and his body, who gave him his life, so that I could stand here today and say, Merry Christmas, and say, thank God for Jesus, for Joseph, and Mary. Thank God that the word has been carried forth for over 2,000 years, so that we might have it. so that I might. Thank God for all the little things that happen that may remind me that those little things probably don't matter. I've got a little thing, Priscilla. Can I do this? I got up this morning, I put on my clergy shirt. Priscilla usually inspects me before I go out the door. Guess what I didn't put on? My cap. So because of that, I could take and do this, and I could be a little more comfortable. God's will, if you will. Not my mistake. Give to God what is God's, which is our entire being. Use that being for what Christ calls us to use it for, which is to spread the word, not necessarily by mouth, but by who we are and what we do. Don't make a resolution this year. Make a commitment that Christmas and the joy of Christmas and the hope of Christmas and the peace of Christmas and the love of Christmas will be seen in me the rest of my life. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise your name. We give thanks for this day that you have given to us. We give thanks for your Son who was born, for your Son who died but was resurrected, for your Son who brought us to you as your children, adopted with him, in him, with hope, with love, and with the promise of eternal life. Oh, gracious God, this year, help us to, instead of saying we make a resolution, simply say we are committed and always will be. Amen.